Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, founder of Gear Media Studios, Passage to Profit co-host, podcast consultant, speaker, and Gearhart Law chief marketing officer.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with celebrities and entrepreneurs about their stories and their business ventures. So now it's time for our guest. Sahil Mehta has climbed some of the world's tallest mountains, run marathons, despite crippling injuries, even more impressive, and has coached billion-dollar leaders, all while insisting that most of what we chase in life is pointless. Whew.
How do you reconcile that?
Well, I want to hear about this, but he challenges the idea that success requires sacrifice, arguing that ambition should not come at the cost of your health, relationships, or sanity. So let's get into that first piece right away. What is the kind of the tension, I guess, the paradox with life being pointless yet shooting for success?
Let's look at some facts. We have so many people in the public domain. Sports stars, musicians, successful business folks who have made millions, maybe even billions, and yet they face mental health challenges, yet they face relationship issues, yet they have major health crises going on. And so then it begs the question that if everyone is chasing a similar definition of success, which media or, it's basically inherited, right? It's the media, social media, it's community, friends, family telling you money.
You think that's sort of our cultural definition of success. It just all comes down to money.
Right. And perhaps fame as well. Some people focus on fame too. Now, there's nothing wrong in making money. Please don't get me wrong. I enjoy making money. However, what am I giving up in order to make that money?
You know, I guess in some ways, the drive for success can become so strong that you're willing to give up a lot. And the challenge is once you get down the road, maybe you look back and you say, well, maybe I gave up a little too much, right? But how do you stay competitive and engaged, yet stay balanced?
So the first thing that one must do is define what success means to them. Because if you're chasing someone else's definition of success, and I've seen this with so many of the business owners that I coach, they come to me and they check all the boxes. They have net worth in the millions. They have a family, they live in a nice house or apartment, they drive a fancy car, they're traveling the world, et cetera, et cetera. You get it. Now, in my definition as a 20-year-old, again, which I'd inherited, if I had all that, I'd be jumping up and down with joy. I'm like, I made it. But the reality is when I did get there myself, I didn't have those feelings. And I started to question what's going on. I mean, surely I should be super excited at this stage.
So what kind of feelings did you have, though? You must have had some satisfaction.
Oh, absolutely. But it's one of those things. It's the satisfaction you get perhaps when you eat an ice cream, right? It's temporary. So it lasted for a short duration of time.
So give up success and eat ice cream. You'll be in great shape.
It's really interesting what you bring up because I feel like people say, well, poor people don't work hard enough. And that's not true. If you know any people that aren't in the upper rungs, they work their butts off. I know people that don't have a lot of money that work really hard. They just aren't doing the right kind of work to make a high salary. So it's not really about working hard necessarily. It's about putting your energy in the right place. Is that kind of what you're trying to tell people?
Absolutely. That's definitely one of the things that need to be taken into consideration. So, I mentioned that I'm a mountaineer. And in the mountaineering world, you have what's known as the seven summits, the tallest mountain on each continent. And when you conquer all of these, it's like you've conquered the world. So that made me question, what if we defined our internal seven summits? Because success, as we know, it's not just one thing. Yes, finance is absolutely important. But there are so many other elements to success. So when you focus on defining your internal seven summits, which may include family, health, recreation, community service, giving back, personal growth, your business, etc. I mean, you get to decide. It's not my definition. It's not what the world is giving you. You get to decide for yourself what success means to you. once you've defined your seven summits and you've prioritized them and you know which ones you can afford to drop and which temporarily and which ones you can't, then every decision that you have to make that's a critical one, you can ask yourself, what's the net effect on my seven summits? Mm-hmm. So just to give you an example, in the past, I used to look at an opportunity which would increase my wealth and I'd just say, yes, let's go. Because that was in tune with my definition of success at that time. Mm-hmm. But at that point, I had given up many other things, because when you say yes to something, you've said no to many other things. Right. And what I realized was I was giving up, I was saying no to family time, I was saying no to health, and those started to degrade. Mm-hmm. So now when I'm looking at a choice that I have to make, I ask myself, what's the net effect? I'm looking at all seven areas, and as long as the overall direction is up, then I usually say yes. And if the overall direction is down the mountain, it just makes my life a lot easier to say no.
We're here with Sahil Mehta, and I wanted to ask, do most people appreciate what their other values are besides making money? So if you're counseling a billionaire, you ask them, well, what are your seven peaks? Do they know the answer to that?
People generally have a vague idea, but vague is not good enough to have clarity and make decisions. A lot of people will say, yes, health is important. But yet I see them making sacrifices again and again to their health. I've heard people say, yes, family is my top priority. Yet they have a terrible relationship with either their child or their spouse. So it's easy to say one thing, but you have to face the mirror and ask yourself, am I actually living up to what I claim are my priorities? Or is it just for namesake?
It's so interesting because as a woman, and I think there are other women in my same boat, like I purposely gave up the financial success summit to stay home and take care of my kids. So I put that as the highest summit for a while in my life. And now they're grown and they're doing really well. So I'm glad I did that. It was a huge sacrifice for me. I have a PhD in analytical chemistry. I stepped away from the work world. But looking back, I'm glad I did it. And I've never really defined things as summits before and categorized them. So this is really helpful, I think.
I love what you said, Elizabeth, because you also highlight the point that your definition of success can change over time as your phase in life evolves. Mm-hmm. When you were a mother of children that were adolescents or below, you made a decision to be more of a mom.
Yeah.
And now that they're adults and perhaps on their own journeys of life, you've now changed your definition to suit your current situation. So that's a great point. It's not something that's set in stone. It is something that can evolve as you evolve.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the other hand, I would say I probably focused too much on the financial piece. I was terrified that I wasn't going to be able to provide for my family. And so I worked like a madman for many years as I was in corporate environments where people were coming and going, and it seemed like the management intentionally kept people off balance because they felt that that was a route to productivity. Now, maybe I just worked for some really bad companies, I don't know, but that was eventually why I decided to go the entrepreneurial route, because I didn't want that kind of stress. And it turned out that there's different stresses, but at least I felt like I was in control of my own destiny, right? And so that was very important. But I also, I was president plays and I was president games and all of that, but lots of times I wasn't psychologically present, right? Where I was there, but my head was still back at the office because I was freaking out about some document that I had to generate by the end of the week. But I think it's great that you're looking at these things. I'm wondering, you're talking about seven summits, but are there actually more than that? Are most things sort of grouped into those categories?
Look, there are lots of things that are important in your life, Richard. But what we encourage the folks to do is to define just seven. Anything beyond seven, I don't know, seven has a magic number to it.
It has a nice ring to it,
absolutely. Sure. And sure, you can add more, but then it just adds to the complexity of trying to monitor and track on a continuous basis. And seven is something you can manage fairly easily. Now, I have some folks who say, seven's too much. Perhaps I only want to stick to 5. But the reason why I push for 7, and I'll tell you, if I ask you what are the 3 most important things in your life, most business owners that I come across, they will say health, wealth, and relationships. In general, right? That's sure. That's probably about 80% of the folks out there.
That resonates.
Right. Yeah. Now, when I tell you to think of 7, it encourages you to think about other areas of your life that are actually important. Like for me personally, fun and recreation popped up as one of the 7.
Oh.
Now, if you ask me to pick 3 or even 4, perhaps 5, I don't know if it would make it to the list. But because it was 7, it made me think about the smaller nuances. Well, I thought it was small, but I realized it's actually a very big part of my life.
You got to have fun once in a while, right? I mean, I think that's so important. And prioritizing it sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. And I would even say is now that I know it's one of my 7 summits, I actually ask myself, how can I bring fun into my life every day? It doesn't have to be an activity that lasts for an hour or two. It could be something that's just listening to jokes for 5 minutes, for example. Right,
I have a joke app on my joke app on my
phone.
That
has to be one of your summits because that is definitely one of my summits. Because every time something good happens, I'm like, oh, let's have a party.
Please do invite me to the next one.
Oh yeah, Your Heart Law is celebrating its 20th anniversary in the summer. And you're going to be in New Jersey in the summer, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're on the list.
You're on the list. You're on the Friends of Your Heart Law list. So, yeah, definitely.
But I feel honored.
So how do you help people then manage 7 summits, right? I mean, you have the financial, the work piece, the family piece, the health piece. Those are kind of obvious. But the other ones, you have like a KPI for that or something, a performance measurement?
So the way it's done is people will pick 7 from an extensive list that I provide because I don't want them to think of 7 that I choose. It has to be their 7. Once they've picked their 7, then it's important to understand, let's take a step back. Imagine you're juggling 7 balls because that's effectively what's happening here. You've got these 7 balls, you're juggling them every day. And the reality is some of these balls are rubber balls. So if you drop them, they're going to bounce back. But there are others which are crystal balls, where if you drop them, well, you know what happens there.
Yeah.
So it's important to identify from the 7 which ones are your rubber balls and which ones are your crystal balls. Because too often I see business owners sacrificing the crystal balls for usually fame and money. Money you can lose. We've heard of stories of millionaires or billionaires who've lost everything and they've bounced back. But the thing is, once you get to a stage where you get diabetes, you have a chronic health issue, you have a stroke or a heart attack or something along those lines, life is never the same again.
That's right.
Right? You're on medication for life or on some form of treatment. So let's be clear which of these balls are crystal balls that you should not be avoiding. And here's a common error I see with many entrepreneurs or business owners. Oh, I'm just sacrificing it now for a month or 2 months. And then 2 months later, they find another reason to sacrifice health or family. And then, 3 months later, they find another reason to sacrifice. And then I tell them as a coach, I'm like, look, please don't call it a sacrifice anymore because it's a choice. You keep choosing something else over what you've determined as one of your crystal balls. It's not a crystal ball.
You make such a good point because health, you can sometimes bounce back, but the time you lose with your family, with your children, you'll never get back. And if that is on the bottom of your list, then, 20 years from now, when you're going through your regrets, it'll be the top of your list, right?
Well, I think health is pretty much up there too because, I mean, you can stop exercising for a couple of years and then start again, right? But if you engage in bad habits that wear your body down to a certain point, then there's a point where it becomes extremely difficult to recover, right? So I guess it's all kind of important. All of the summits are important.
Well, I think one thing Sahil mentioned, though, that I agree with is fame is not as important. So it may seem like a crystal ball, but it's not, right?
And that's why it's important to go through each one and really determine whether it is or not. And once you've determined which ones are crystal and rubber balls, then the key becomes, what does the summit actually look like? Because a lot of people haven't defined it. So what's a 10 out of 10 in health look like to you? Write it down. Don't think about it. Write it down. I mean, I don't know about the listeners here, but I can't remember something I thought about last week to the exact word.
Right.
Right. So by writing it down, I now have a record of it. And then every month I'm looking at it and saying, okay, how did I do this month? And then for the next month, what is one step I can take? Because a lot of folks, they think about, oh my goodness, I'm a 4 out of 10 right now. A 10 out of 10 just seems so far away. What do you have to do to get from 4 to 5? And if that's a big step, how do you get from 4 to 4.1?
That's a great question. We have to take a commercial break. We're here with Sahil Mehta, a very experienced and very introspective success coach. We'll be back with more after this.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later.
800-261-2176. 800-261-2176. That's 800-261-2176.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan or just not happy with what you're paying for? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate or at little or no cost to you? Your life needs are always changing, but have you done anything to improve your health insurance for you and your family? Health insurance laws and coverage are always changing and getting better. It's impossible to do all the research yourself, but now it's all done for you for free. So regardless of your age or medical condition, take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
Paid for by Cheaper Health Insurance. 800-652-1470. 800-652-1470. 800-652-1470. That's 800-652-1470.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
Don't forget to experience more of Passage to Profit by subscribing to us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube, or subscribing to our podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Just look for the Passage to Profit show on any of these platforms. And later in the show, we're going to have AI in business, intellectual property news, and secrets of the entrepreneurial mind. So we're here with Sahil Mehta, and he's written an amazing book, Breaking Free. But you talked during the break about baggage that people bring with them during this mountain climb. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So the first step we talked about was defining what success means to you, which gives clarity, hence making decision-making a lot easier. Mm-hmm. The second phase is as you're climbing up the mountain, and I can tell you as a mountaineer, every pound counts. You think, oh, it's just an extra pair of socks or two, right?
Better be important socks.
But over hours and hours, every pound counts. And so the question now becomes is, what is that excess baggage that you are carrying on your shoulders that for whatever reason you haven't let go of? Right. So what the book is all about. It's how do you identify the clutter that's in your backpack and then eliminate it one at a time so you have a lighter backpack, which allows you to scale your summits of success faster.
I would say I have a lot of clutter, but I do agree that when you can reduce the clutter, you calm your mind, I think you become more effective.
So one thing you talk about that it says here is not just your mental and emotional clutter, but like household clutter. Like, I have way too many clothes in my closet and way too many pairs of shoes. And I think it does bother me to have to go look at that and just not be able to pull out what I want to wear for the day. So I do feel like clutter really weighs a person down, whichever form it comes in, right?
Well, and even physical clutter, like if you do exercise and you gain 10 pounds, that's 10 pounds that you're carrying around. If you pick up a 10-pound weight, that's a lot of weight,
yeah.
Right? So it kind of goes back to your climbing analogy.
Absolutely. And I tell everyone, everything you own occupies space in your head. Mm. If you think about your head as a parking lot, you know, in a parking lot, you got to pay to park your car. Now, you have all these things parked in your parking lot rent-free. right? It's not paying anything. Unless if it has a function. If it has a function, great, that makes sense. By all means, keep it. Or if it gives you joy, yeah, keep it. But I've found that a lot of people have a lot of stuff that does neither. And so it's occupying space, not giving you any benefit, but it's still occupying space. And when you occupy that space, you're preventing potential great things entering your life because the parking lot's full.
Yeah, I agree.
So do you think that having a preoccupied mind makes you less effective? And so part of a growth strategy could be reducing all of the things that we're trying to keep in our head at a given time. I mean, that would be amazing if you could do that, because then I guess that would free us up to be more creative, more responsive, more present. How do you do that, though? I mean, you clean your house. I guess that's step one, right? But are there other things?
Is that in your book?
There are definitely techniques in there. What I would say is a lot of people struggle with the monkey mind. It's just always, you know, jumping to different spots all the time. And even when you're present doing something, like, for example, you're having your lunch or your dinner, you're perhaps thinking about something else. You're writing an email and your mind is jumping to what has to happen next. And so how does one improve? Well, it's practice. You can't get amazing results unless if you go to, you know, physical results, unless you do some form of exercise on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen through some magic pill. So the same way, if you practice slowing down, just being more aware, every time you catch yourself thinking about something which is not about what you're focusing on right now, just park it. I'll come back to you. And so it's that awareness. That awareness has to be strong. And what I do that helps me is I take tea breaks throughout the day. I don't drink caffeine, but I have herbal tea. Mm-hmm. And someone told me this and I absolutely love it. It's not a cup of tea, it's a cup of time. And it just takes a few minutes. So if I just take, let's say, 5 tea breaks in a day, mm-hmm. that's about 5 minutes each time where I can just slow down, enjoy the view outside the window, or just be in my thoughts for a little while, just breathe deeply and just kind of bring it to the present. And so that builds that muscle, that practice, right? You mm-hmm. practice again and again and again, and eventually you find out, oh, wow, I can become present a lot faster.
That's a great tip.
He's a very calm person.
He is.
He has a very calm demeanor.
Yes. I have a question for him. Do you coach people on these techniques? I know you've written the book, but what is your business? What do you coach people as a private coach? Do you coach groups?
So I work with business owners specifically.
Okay.
And it's all about how to become more successful.
Okay.
By their definition, not by someone else's. And so they go through this process that we spoke about, defining the 7 summits, identify the clutter that you're carrying, and then how do you ensure, the third step is how do you ensure you take one step forward every day? And so we go through this framework and identify all the challenges that they have so that they can overcome. Because when you live a life that's in line with your definition of success, life is more fulfilling, which means you're moving away from regret.
I agree 100%. Do you have any success stories? Like stories of people that you've coached that have really made a difference?
Based on the research that we've done, which is actually going to be shared in the next book, which researches over hundreds of business owners, I found that a lot of entrepreneurs or business owners are always available. This is the number one challenge that most business owners have. What does that mean? An email comes in, you feel you have to answer it. Notification, yeah. Someone calls you, you answer it. You leave your door open so that anyone in the office can come in and, you know, get to you and ask you questions. But then when are you in flow? When are you able to get things done at a pace that you would consider acceptable?
And then
when do you shut down to be with your family or for your health or for downtime or for fun time, whatever it might be? But now with these gadgets, a lot of these business owners are always available. So one of the first things we do is setting boundaries. But again, how do you set the boundary? You can only set it if you've defined what success means to you, because it has to be aligned. If it's aligned, the chances of you doing it are going to be high. Otherwise, it's going to be like a New Year's resolution. It's just a desire. You get excited for a little time, and then you just go back to old habits.
So do you factor accountability into your coaching?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, many times I request them to find an accountability partner. And because some people, especially business owners, they don't want to show a sign of weakness. So I've actually now developed an accountability app, which is going to release soon, where they can, you know, use that as a resource. But if you can find an accountability partner, that's brilliant. I have one. And when I tell someone else I'm going to do something by a certain date, I'm going to feel really bad. I have to pick up the phone again and go,
I didn't do it this time. Yeah.
So how do people find you to get your services?
Usually it's word of mouth. I found that to be the most powerful form of marketing. However, I have a pretty strong digital footprint, so they can find me on my website, www.sahilmehta.com.
That's can you spell that?
Yeah. That's SAHILMEHTA.com. And then from there, there's a bunch of resources that people can download, which just takes them a little bit of time, but brings them a lot of clarity.
Excellent. Thank you.
Great. Well, it's been an amazing discussion, and I feel motivated to look at my 7 summits and maybe make some changes. Passage to Profit is a Gear Media Studios production. It's a nationally syndicated radio show appearing on 40 stations across the U.S. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, our studio assistant Rissakat Busari, and our social media powerhouse Carolina Tabares. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.